Blog Talk Radio.
We ain't gonna have no craziness. We're gonna have a nice, smooth show. And nothing is gonna go wrong. And I can guarantee it. Guarantee everything is gonna be all right. Everything is gonna be okay right now. Hey, listen to what we're talking about. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. Well, this is your daily. The Daily Go Get 'Emism Show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R, the Daily Go Get Him is the show this Saturday morning. The 19th of December, Christmas time is upon us. Have you shopped? Have you gotten everything that you needed to get done? Are you still catching up? Are you pulling up the rear? Are you doing the last minute thing? Are you doing it when you got the money? You know, sometimes you can't spend money that you don't have. And sometimes we don't have the money to spend. So when it comes in, when my ship comes in, I take care of you then. Right now, you got to have a seat and wait, friend. Ain't nothing you can do. I love you really, boo. But listen, you're going to have to wait too. Do you know what I'm saying? actual facts, baby. What's up, Lanice 39? Thanks for coming on through. Appreciate you coming through. I really do. So this morning, this AM, on this 19th of December, 6 days before the Christmas, we're talking about when they really ain't out of your life, but they're supposed to be. Somebody is living rent-free up in your dome, up in your memory. You know, they got a memory card. They done put that bitch up in there and locked it in. You know, can't nobody get it out. It's not always a bad thing. This is what we're not going to do today. This show is not going to be about all of the men that you've had in your life and how you compare your new boo to them, or all of the women that you had in your life and all of your exploits and all of that kind of stuff. We're not really talking about that. What we're talking about is unresolved issues. What we're talking about is when you never really got the story straight about something and you really want to get it straight, but you may be dealing with situations right now that will not only not allow you to get it straight, but they will discourage you from getting it straight. Sometimes you can be dealing with people who are encouraging you to leave your past all the way in the past, and they may not realize that in order for you to move forward, in order for you to be okay right now in the present time, that you have to resolve these issues. You have to go back and sort of get some closure. I don't really like the word closure, but I tell you this, it has its place. And when you need it, you need it. Because it would be just like if somebody in your family was murdered or they died suddenly and you never got a chance to ask them something that you really needed to know. And, you know, that's going to plague you. It's going to get to you. It's going to be in the back of your mind, or maybe even right there on the frontal lobe right there. And it's going to cause some stress for you. And it may have an effect, a negative effect on the relationships that you have now. A lot of people will not move forward now because of unresolved issues of the past. And they may be discouraged from even bringing up those issues because people keep telling me, yo, what the fuck you still worried about that for? Why haven't you moved on? Well, sometimes you can't move all the way on. You may have moved on as much as you could for the situation, but you may not have been capable of moving all the way on the way somebody might be expecting you to do. Teacher 1130. Teacher 1130, what's going on? My man, that's my dude right there. You know what I'm saying? Good to see me, son, you. You know, there aren't too many people on Instagram that when I go to their page, I'm like, yo, he be dropping some fly shit. My man, Teacher 1130, he be dropping, you know, Instagram is a lot of foolishness, a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of funny memes. I'm not going to discount the people who keep me laughing, keep me being like, man, the internet is crazy. But my man, Teacher 1130, he be posting that hot shit. It be hot. You know, very, very positive. Very, very positive. Very, very inspirational. All right. So when we talk about when they supposed to be out of your life, but they ain't, you could be talking about an ex. And you could be talking about an ex situation. You could be talking about a time in your life, a period in your life where, you know, you did something happened. But you never really got a chance to resolve it. You never really got a chance to solve it. You never got a chance to dissect it. Maybe somebody would not allow you to do it at the time. And maybe for the situation given back then, you thought it was best to just go ahead and let it go. We as black people really, really have this thing about trying to appear and giving off the veneer of confidence, which sometimes comes off as overconfidence, and of being bulletproof. But just, you know, Sade had a song called Bulletproof Soul, and none of us have ever worn one. We don't have no bulletproof soul. You know, things that happen in our lives affect us. And one thing may not affect everybody the same way it affects somebody, but the somebody that's affected needs to be respected, and their struggle is real. It's real, you know what I'm saying? My other brother from another mother, Donald Mac, what's going on? Glad you came back. And I'm glad that you're here to attack and you're writing exactly. Thanks for coming on through, Black. And my brother, I sell Jones. All the girls can't leave him alone. Hey, what's going on, my brother? Thanks for coming on through. I'm glad to see my two brothers, too. Where are you? And Emily Dunlap is in the house. Yes, yes, thanks for coming out. Yes. Thanks for coming out, y'all. I need y'all to hit that like button. I need y'all to share the show. And I need y'all to subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. And I know everybody in the chat right now has subscribed to the channel, but other people are looking at that joint that may not have subscribed to the channel. I need them to subscribe to the channel. I need them to be down with the crew. And I need them to listen to this message that we got coming through right now. I need y'all to listen to this message I got right now. So we're talking about when somebody's supposed to be out of your life, but they really ain't out of your life. They still is where ain't is supposed to be. Yeah, you may have moved on. You may have gotten married. You may have started a family. You may have done a lot of the things that a person who is supposed to have moved on is supposed to do. But it doesn't mean that in the back of your mind that somebody isn't on your mind. And it doesn't mean that you haven't moved on with somebody else. It doesn't mean that you are incapable of letting go of your past. It doesn't even necessarily mean that you're not being progressive and productive. But what it can mean is that you still need to go back and close this door over here, because you can feel the wind coming through it, and it's having an impact on how warm the room that you are in can get. So that's what we're talking about today on the Daily Go Getimism show. You know, like, we all, I ain't gonna say we all, but if you've had the negative experience, if you've had the unfortunate experience of losing a loved one that you never got a chance to talk to before they passed, you never got a chance to ask them something about something. Example, people who have lost a parent that they never really got a chance to know. Maybe you grew up without your father for whatever reason, but you know, you grew up without your dad, and just when you were about to move your dad got killed. You never got a chance to ask him how come he wasn't there for you. You never got a chance to ask him, you never got a chance to see what he was like. You never got a chance to be with him. You never got a chance to hear his voice. Well, maybe you heard his voice, but you talked to him over the telephone, but you never got a chance to stand face to face with the man, and you were just about to. So you lost him, or maybe you didn't get a chance to hear his voice. Maybe y'all set up a meeting, and maybe it was just through mail. You know, y'all were writing to each other, texting to each other, whatever. And he was like, yo, I really think, I know that I'm your dad. I know that you're my son, and I can't wait to meet you. You know, maybe y'all didn't live in the same city or same state or something like that. So he was supposed to come through. So before he got a chance to come through, something happened and he tragically died. And it's like, on one hand, you're thankful for the experience of just being able to connect with him and to find out that there was somebody out there who thought about you, who knew about you, and who was willing to come in and kick it with you, regardless of how late in life that happened. But at the same time, it was like, damn, you may have felt like you got as far as you had gotten in your life. And just before you were about to close the case, you lose them. So now everything that you wanted to know about your dad, you're going to have to find out by somebody else. I mean, you're going to have to find out from somebody else, the aunts, uncles on his side. Whoever, maybe your grandmother is still alive on his side. Maybe she isn't. But regardless, you didn't get a chance to really open that book and definitely close that chapter. You didn't get a chance to do it. So although you may be doing okay in life, that may be a void that you may have needed to fill. And it was taken away from you, and now you're going to have to take everybody's account of what your dad was like. You know how people come around and be like, man, you just like your father. I'm telling you, look just like him. You act like, oh my goodness, this is something else. And you like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to hear more, but you don't really know how to get anymore, because you sure can't go and witness it for yourself. So that's just one example of how somebody can leave your life, and even though they're gone from your life, they're still in your system. They're still there, and you haven't really reconciled it, and you may need to. You may really, really, really need to do that. And not everybody is going to understand that. Some people may not even accept it. But that's a tough situation. And many people have had that happen to them. Even if you did know your dad. Even if you did know your dad, some people never got a chance to know him the way that they wanted to, or that they would have preferred to get to know. Having a father is way more than, you know, going to the parks and material items, and it's more than spending time. It's an energy. It's an energy that you share, whether you like it or not, whether you acknowledge or understand it or accept it or not. It's there, and it manifests itself. It manifests itself when you're happy. It manifests itself when you're sad. It manifests itself when you're indifferent, when you're confused, when you don't know. It manifests itself all the time, because you only come from two human beings on this earth, directly from two. You know, the egg of one and the sperm of another. Of course, we have, you know, family bloodline that goes on before them. But you only come from the two. You have 23 from your mama, 23 from your daddy. So there are people out there who never got a chance to meet their mom, or really got a chance to know their mom, or grow up with their mom also. I was watching the ID channel, and one of the shows that I take, it was called Homicide City. Homicide City is a show that comes on the ID channel, and it's about Philly homicides. So all of the episodes are about people who have gotten murdered in Philly. It's kind of an interesting show, because the way they do it is not really shining a bad light on Philly the way they normally do it, but it's pretty much like other shows that you may be familiar with if you watch the A&E channel. What was that show on A&E that I used to watch all the time? It was about affluent people who were rich, and how, you know, they got murdered, and all of the espionage and conspiracies that was behind that. It was crazy. But this shit is about Philly. But anyway, so I was watching this episode yesterday, and the episode was about this black woman, who was struggling with drug addiction. She was from South Philly. She was struggling with drug addiction. And she got murdered and found in an abandoned building in North Philly. And her son was on there. And he was real young when it happened, because it happened all the way back in 87. So the height of the crack era. So she was actually in rehab, and her birthday came along, and I guess she went and got high for her birthday, and lost her life at the same time. But the brother who was her son, he was saying, like, you know, I never got a chance to know my mom. I never got a chance to see my mom. You know, like, he must have been really young when she passed. And she lost her children because of a drug addiction. You know, DHS came. Well, DHS, for those of y'all who are not from Pennsylvania or Philadelphia, that's our CPS, Child Protective Services. It stands for Department of Human Services. But she had lost her children, you know, because of the drug thing. So he probably spent most of his time in a foster home. So he never got a chance to know his mom. And I was thinking about that while I'm watching the show. It kind of pulled in my heartstrings. Like, damn, a lot of people grow up without their father. Unfortunately, in our community, it's like something that's to be expected. Like,
It's almost a surprise when you grow up with two parents or with your dad insisting being in your life. But most people grow up with their mom unless their mom gets sick and dies at a young age. Well, in this case, his mom was murdered, and he wasn't with his mom evidently during the time. Do look familiar then
also. So I was thinking about, although his mom, oh, by the way, her murder didn't get solved right away. It took years before they solved her. So it became a cold case and then got reopened and eventually they solved it because they found her body. Sorry, y'all. It wasn't an abandoned building. They found her, and it wasn't in North Philly, around where Central High School's field is. They found her, the skeletal remains. The skeletal remains. Then again, I watched so many episodes. I watched about 4 episodes of it, so I might be getting this story jumbled up. Because, you know, she was found in an abandoned building. Yeah, the rehab joint. Yeah. Then I'm mixing it with in North Philly. Okay. I'm mixing shows and shit. You know what I mean? I do the same thing with the voice call. Anyway, so I was imagining what that young brother had to be going through. Growing up without a mother, growing up without really knowing your mother, but growing up knowing that your mother was on drugs, she didn't have enough time to take care of you or whatever. You know. I would imagine that that's a void in your life that you ain't just going to be able to shake that off. You know, I'm imagining how does he deal with the women that he has in his life, whether they are friends, lovers, baby mothers, spouses, whatever. How does he deal with it? Because he doesn't have a point of reference. The first woman that was supposed to be the first heroine in his life died tragically, and he didn't get a chance to be with her even before the fact. So I could see how that could really fuck a young man up. So when we talk about they supposed to be out of your life, but they ain't, we could be talking about a situation that's a memory, or we could be talking about somebody who is physically and emotionally still here, but they're not supposed to be. It could be an old flame. It could be an old friend that you have unresolved issues with, and you really want to solve them. But you might be dealing with Shorty over here, and Shorty is like, well, if you're so curious about what happened with you and her, won't you go be with her then? Won't you go be with her then? And that can make it even more stressful for you because you may feel the compulsion to keep it on the low. I don't want my baby thinking that I still want to be with my ex. But damn, you don't understand the effect that my ex had on me. And I feel like it's creeping into our relationship. I got trust issues, baby. I've been hurt. Or it could have been something that you did. I don't know if y'all have ever dealt with a situation like, I don't mean to pick you out, Donald Mac, but I'm gonna do it. But have you ever dealt with a chick that you didn't do right, that you didn't do right by, that still loved your ass like crazy, like you couldn't get rid of her, even though you did everything that most people would have probably tried to cut you for. But she like, if you don't actually cut me, I ain't leaving. I'll leave if you tell me to go, but I ain't never going to be. I bet you I still check in, though. I'm checking in. Donald Mac says, yes, many women have severe relationship problems because of daddy problems. Cal Chamberlain says, okay, wait a minute, hold on, because I don't think he was addressing my question. Let me go up here. I'm gonna get y'all from the top to the bottom. Ansel Jones says, mutual friends are the bond that need to be broken. You think so? see what you mean. He says, we cool because we got love for the same person. Okay. D-Max says, not much answer. Okay, trying to stay safe and keep it moving forward. Work. Answer says, imagine being in another country. Only thing you have is being American. Oh, I know what that's like. Not for as long as you were, but being in a foreign land is crazy. Okay. Carol Chamberlain says, I was very young when my dad passed. I didn't know him at all. 19 months old. When your dad passed, I thought that was your mom. I didn't know him at all. 19 months old. But I cherish all of the memories that people have shared with me, and I feel like sometimes I knew him. That's because of that energy, Carol, more than likely. It's because of that energy. That energy. Oh, that's right. Okay, I got you. Okay. All right. Donald Max says, that's got to be tough not being able to spend time with your birth parents. I feel for children that have to endure that. They seem to have so many more problems for many years. I mean, many for years into adulthood.
Yeah, and many people who have gone through that deal with it, okay. Oh, you said your mom passed at age 6. God damn, okay.
I know I knew that. Okay. Shit. All right. Jerry Shea says, my dad was killed before I was even born. In the movement. Oh. Panthers. Sometimes I look at black people and I say, people have died trying to help us. I can't take people.
Died for the struggle. In and for the struggle. It's real shit. So yeah, when it's supposed to be out of your system, but they supposed to be out of your life, but they ain't. They supposed to be out of your system, but they ain't. Out of your life and out of your system ain't the same thing. Somebody can be clearly out of your life. You on the West Coast, they on the East Coast, or vice versa. They are not in eyesight, and they may not even be in contact, but they may still be on your mind, and they may be on your mind because of that lack of contact. Like, regardless of how bad somebody does you, they have become a part of you.
And once somebody becomes a part of you, you can't just eliminate them. Because that's what you want to do. Doesn't work that way. Sometimes you just have to deal with the situation. You got to deal with it, son. You got to deal with it. And we're not all equipped to deal with it ourselves. So when somebody is lingering in your thoughts, lingering, you may deal with it differently than some people deal with it. Some people deal with people lingering in their thoughts by picking up the phone and finding them. Some people go on the internet to search for them. Some people physically go to where they know other people would know where they were and talk to them. Put feelers out there. Some people do it. They're not necessarily stalking in this instance, but they may be wondering, well, I need to know that they're okay. How many of y'all have had dreams about people in your past? Like, I don't know what the fuck you doing in my dreams. You was a nightmare. You was a nightmare while we was together. But you know how it is. Just because someone does you dirty doesn't necessarily mean that you wish bad on them. To be honest, sometimes it's a little stranger when we do wish bad on people that we used to love. At least we said we used to love them. You know. So So it's not necessarily that you want to get back with somebody. You just know right. Sometimes you just need to know that they're all right, and then you're okay. But until you get that info that they're okay, you ain't okay. Okay, Cherry said, I meant to say I can't take people who don't want to learn anything about the history or learn anything about where they come from. The things that happen to you affect your decisions in life. See, here's the thing about that, Cherry, a Cinderella, Dane. The thing about that is that our people have spent their entire existence from the time of conception trying to avoid pain. Our whole existence, our whole lives, we are dealt pain day in and day out. And when you say that fact to a lot of us, they'll tell us that we're bitching. We need to stop bitching. All that shit that happened was in the past. They don't have nothing to do with what's going on right now. Get up off your ass and get up and get out and do something. And they don't understand. It's not, even if you're doing okay, that doesn't mean that anybody else is doing okay. It doesn't mean that. And when you highlight that fact to some of us, we don't want to hear it because it will take us back to a place where we know we have to take action. What I mean by this, what I mean by take us to a place where we have to take action is this. Many of us think that our quest for liberation means taking up arms, means protesting, means getting our heads beat in, means putting ourselves in danger, means trying to convince people that don't want to accept us or be with us or like us or treat us fairly. It means having to go up against them all the time. And that's not what it means. What it means is getting knowledge of self, knowing who you are, being an inspiration to others, seeking inspiration from others for you and yours. Each one, teaching 100, straightening out things, putting us in a position where we can actually have something out of our life, out of our lives, or have something or get something out of our system. But instead, we've been discouraged from fighting back, standing up, and accruing knowledge. Instead, we've been taught to just dull the pain, drink it away, smoke it away, pill it away, sniff it away, shoot it away, dance it away, fuck it away, perform it away. Ignore it away. We've been conditioned to do that. And somebody like you, who has been taught differently and has all of that warrior blood coursing through your veins, you can't understand it. You're resentful of the sleep. You're like, why the fuck you sleeping? You need to wake up. So I get it. But motherfuckers just want to get away from the hot surface. They want to get away from that. And that, unfortunately, is the majority of us. So when you have taken the initiative and made the choice to deal with that situation head on, other people have made the decision to ignore that shit, out of sight, out of mind. Light up another one. Pour me a drink. I need some time to be around my babies and just think. Racism is everywhere. We're never going to have a time in our lives where racism is out of our lives. But you see some of these Oreo motherfuckers that we know, and you see how they want to be all up in the other man's face as if they are fully accepted by them. And you're like, white people don't have to fully accept us. Honestly, I don't blame them for not. But it doesn't mean that you have to support a system that demonizes us and that disenfranchises us. That I won't accept. So we can kick it. But when you align yourself with those who try to oppress me, I'm not fucking with you. So I'm not trying to get racism out of my life or out of my system. I'm just trying to keep it from being able to systematically damage my system and poison my system to whereas I poison everybody the fuck else around me. That's what I'm trying to eliminate. You can't make somebody who has devised a scheme to keep you down and keep himself or herself in power for the rest of their lives and their descendants' lives. I ain't even mad at him for that. But I'm mad at him for that. Because I'm speaking from a victim standpoint. So when my brothers and sisters don't even realize that they fucking victims, and they trying to tell you that you're in a futile attempt. You're making futile attempts to try to ignore the reality that we're all the same people. Oh, well. What's up, NY Pat? New York Pat is in the house. Good to see you coming on out. And Just Jam Forever. 1214. I like that. Just Jam Forever. Just Jam Forever. My beat forever. Forever my beat. Forever my beat. Forever my beat. Forever my beat. Okay. Oh, shit. My brother is in the queue? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Let me just read the rest of these comments, and then I'm bringing you right on. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Carol Chambers says, I understand, Cherry. It seems so non-caring, like it doesn't affect me. It was in the past. Okay. Donald, okay. All right. I got y'all. Got y'all. Got y'all. Got y'all. All right. Let's go. My other brother from another mother, Donald Mack. What's going on? Hold on, hold on. Let me let this thing kick in. I think Blog Talk is fucking up everything. I think that was making everything free. Whole house free. Because nothing else acts like this. You see how long that shit took to bring them on the line? Blog Talk. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try another browser. Like, get off Chrome, because Chrome has its own set of problems. What's going on, my brother? How you feeling this morning?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
Feeling like a real man should, man. I'm glad you came, too.
You know, you said you was going to throw me under the bus. I said, well, let me call, because this would be too much to try to text.
I ain't say throw you under the bus. I had to put you on blast because any man that has multiple children, this is going to be some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. You know, sometimes it might be your fault, sometimes it might not, but nonetheless, there's going to be some shit. So go ahead.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. You know, I can honestly say, I have five children, four biological. One stepdaughter. I had two daughters before I reached the age of 22. Of course, for those of you that have followed, you know, my path, I didn't even find out about one of them until like last year. I guess I can be held guilty as one of those people that I used to kind of like have judgmental, you know, views about. I got three baby mamas. Well, actually two, because one died. But I can honestly say that even as a young man, you know, in my teens, 20s, 30s, I have always been pretty honest with the women that I've dealt with. I have had a few, you know, and I would say if you talk to most of those women, most of them, I probably could ask for a date right now and they, you know, I won't say that they would say yeah, but they won't, they can tell you that I did not treat them badly. I may not have done some of the things that they wanted me to do or they thought that was in the best interest of our relationship and our children. But I think all the way at, I guess, until I was age in my mid-30s, most of the women knew that my first real love was baseball. And nothing was coming before the baseball, you know. And if they chose to deal with me in a relationship, or, you know, they had to accept the fact that I really was not ready to get committed to anything until I found out that I had no chance of going pro to play baseball. And then, you know, I guess my other life started after that. But I've always tried to be fair. And, you know, some people say, yeah, the ones who treated the women so bad, they're the ones that have all those daughters or whatever the case may be. And I don't believe that. I try to teach my daughters the best that I can. I try to tell them, you know, they need to be transparent with these guys and just be honest and be yourself. You know, try to find somebody that you're compatible with. Don't try to do something that you feel is not, you know, you as a person. And, you know, that may be while I'm single right now, because even at this age, I'm very transparent. I'm very upfront. I'm very blunt. I'm not going to go out of my way to try to do something to try to please you. That's not me. You know, I fall short like all of us of God's, you know, true will, I guess. But I strive every day to be a better person. And, you know, right now my children come first. I got, you know, two seniors in high school. After I, you know, get them in college or get them situated what they want to do, then I think I might be able to start living a little bit, you know. But yeah. Other than that, man, I try to treat people how I would like to be treated. I try to be honest with them. And it puzzles me why I don't have a woman, because I feel like I'm still a pretty good catch. But, you know, hey, I mean, I'm not as handsome as I once was. I'm, you know, got a little weight on me. I got, you know, my own issues. But, you know, that was something that we also said, that I just said in my text. I read about some of your viewers that, you know, parents died or a parent died at a very young age. And, man, I'm finding out in this dating scene, it's a lot of women out here. I don't even think they realize the type mm-hmm. of daddy issues that they have, the type of baggage that they have from being in bad relationships and not really knowing what a good man is, what a good man does. I think we get so much into the physical, you know, can this dude stroke me all night and how many inches he got and all that other stuff. And, you know, at the same time, you get that, but then you get smashed in the head every time he get mad, or he laying around the house, don't want to work, smoking blunts or whatever. I don't know what these women view as being good men, because I see a lot of these dudes that ain't no good in my eyes as far as in a relationship, but they keep a woman. Well, you know, so I don't know what it is, brother.
Well, the reason that I asked you, the question that I asked you was, have you ever treated a woman badly or did a dirty or whatever, whether on purpose or by just being who you are, and she still stuck by you. That would cover a whole lot of men. You know what I'm saying? But so when I called you out for that, yeah, I could have called out Ansel. I could have called out anybody. You know, we all the more experience that you have with women, the less likely that you've always done the right thing.
Right.
I'll be the first one to tell you that shit. You know what I'm saying? But you live your life because you have to learn just like they have to learn. But it would be surprising when somebody that you really didn't do that well by or for is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm still here. If you need me, the number ain't changing, neither is the address. And if they do, you'll be informed. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. you know, on one end, it could be kind of flattering, and at the other end, it's like, I don't really deserve that shit. You know what I'm saying? But
right, right.
But when you talk about the women out here who have these daddy issues, I think that there are a plethora of sources that we can look to explain some of this. First of all, a lot of our teaching, a lot of our conditioning nowadays is happening through social media.
Right.
You know, social media and the media itself. I'm not necessarily talking about the news or propaganda like that, or even TV shows, but some of it is. But, you know, when we glamorize, it happens for males and females, because on the female side, all it is, I want a thug, I like black bad boy shit. You know, all you're really saying on a positive side is that you like that aggressive, male aggression or male energy, you know what I'm saying? Which wouldn't be that bad if they could channel it in a good direction. What you don't hear women say is, I want a man who don't really have any ambition or any compulsion to do right by me or the children that I'm going to have by him, or doesn't even really care about his community, his own family, or anything else dealing with anything except for himself live in the moment. You don't hear women say that, but they don't understand that that's what comes along with all of that thug shit, with all of that bad shit. That's what they don't see. But we glamorize the thuggish part and the tough veneer part in our music, on our TV and movie screen. Oh yeah, my last man was a nerd, and look, this one is a total gangster. Well, it doesn't normally go that way. You know, most of us follow patterns in the people that we like or that we involve ourselves with. There aren't normally really wide sweeping changes between who we were with and who we're with now. But that's why we were calling the show today, supposed to be Out of My Life, but not, but really ain't all the way out. You know, so you know, and I don't want to leave without saying that males get this shit too. You know, we all of this shit about, well, the glamorization of all of these, just the stripper culture. You know, like, I like naked women as much as the next man does. But I know what comes along with the territory of women that do that shit for a living. First of all, there's a lot of physical and emotional abuse leading up to your decision to do that as a profession. That's number one. Number two, anybody who does that for a living, you have to think about what their outlook on life is going to be when you're trying to have a woman who's sexy as shit and good in the bedroom and all of that kind of shit. But at the same time, you have to understand that that's what she does for a living. That may be all she really knows. So as you're trying to expand her into other realms of life of importance, she can't do it.
Nah.
Can't do it. But you done glamorized this shit. That other thing, you know, all the crazy bitches got the best pussy and all that shit. Even though it's alcoholic, once you start allowing yourself to believe that, what you're really telling yourself is that, damn, I'll never be able to have a woman with a good head on the shoulders and still be able to get freaked out. That's wrong. 100% wrong. But the more you practice something, the better you get at it. So the more you keep practicing and saying, well, you know, even though I don't have no future with this bitch, at least I'm going to be fucking good, we're going to get high, and we're going to have some fun. They ain't the only women that's fun out here, son. They're not. You're pigeonholing yourself. You're painting yourself into a negative corner. And then you going to fuck around and have kids by the chick. Look, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. So,
you know, one of my favorite sayings.
Hey, people don't really realize how deep it goes, my brother. So when you talk about the rabbit having the gun, all right, so you're putting power in the hands of somebody that will do you dirty.
So once you start glamorizing the stripper culture, the thug culture, the drug culture, and all of that, you have to take whatever comes along with that. And you probably don't want to deal with nothing that comes with it. None of that shit. It looks good. Look, she look good. Pussy is all that. You know what I'm saying? She crazy. You know, she kind of crazy. You know, you might find it exciting until you're ready to live your life right. Until you're ready to settle down, buy a home. You know, not be afraid. Not be around dangerous motherfuckers. Not put yourself in position, compromising positions where you're always on nervous. Oh, you gotta turn down your device, my brother.
Once you start glamorizing the stripper culture,
Well, I think you know, even when you think about if you even think about the physical, I think that I've had my best sexual encounters with women that I connected with mentally and emotionally. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might not have been the freakiest, but as far as the way they made me feel, if I really was into them mentally and emotionally, if I really had an emotional attachment to them, you know, I could actually feel good being intimate with them and not even having, you know, the actual sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with a stripper or whatever the case may be, because you don't have that type of attraction, you know, you don't have the mental and emotional part. It's just all physical. Once the act is done, it's done. It ain't nothing else for y'all to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, I mean, if you got lucky and you didn't have to pay, then, you know, cool. Maybe, you know, if you're slinging 9 or 10 inches and that's what they like and you got a discount because of that or something. But after that, that's all it is. And if you look at her the same way, if she's going to be stimulated by you because of similar ideals or similar, you know, ways of thinking about life and everything else, and she's in that life, then if you're not in that life, if you're not a thug dude, if you ain't out there slinging, you know, dope or you know, slinging money, making it rain in the club or whatever, your boring ass 9-to-5 life is probably not going to fulfill her. You know, so there's a detachment that is going to happen very quickly when y'all are not in the bed. You know, outside of that, it's probably nothing else for y'all to really, you know, to be able to collaborate on together. So, you know, most of those people that ain't living that kind of life, I think they're smart enough to realize that this is just, it's a physical thing and that's all it's going to be. If you're looking for something more, yeah. Damn, I just got an emergency call from my brother. I got to get out of here, bro. Hey, it was good talking to y'all. I hate that I had to end this like this, but, you know, we'll get back. But for all of those women, that I seen on here that said that they lost parents and stuff at a very early age, I hope that, you know, that they had, I think I seen somebody have a text said that they had older brothers and uncles, and that helps a lot because you really have to have some strong men in your life and see the kind of things that they going through and get a perspective from that to really understand and have a positive relationship with a black man, I believe. If you don't have any of that experience in your own life, if you haven't seen a positive black man grow up in your family, if you haven't seen people getting up and going to work and spending time with their children and the things of that nature, I think you get kind of fucked up, you know, because you don't really understand the struggle when the brother trying to go through it and he's not working and there's other things that he can do, especially if he has children that are still positive and he needs that support from his family and especially his woman.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I got to go. Hey, I appreciate you, brother. I got to go and help my mother-in-law or my brother's mother-in-law around here. Says she's having some trouble around the corner. So I'm out of here. I love y'all. Keep up the good work, brother, and we'll talk again.
All right, do your thing, man. I hope that situation works out fine.
All right, bro. Yep.
All right, peace. But yeah, man. So. Ooh.
Okay. So, I was looking in, first of all, I want to thank my man, my other brother from another mother, Donald Mack, for coming through, spitting the good game. The good game. Good game. Appreciate him. Mucho. Appreciate him. I'm looking at how Carol and Cherry was talking about, you know, men having mommy issues. And yeah, many men do. You know, just like I was saying, if we want to talk about somebody that has been adversely affected by social media, men all fucked up. All fucked up. Like I said, that stripper shit, that freak shit, all of that crazy bitches got the best pussy shit, all that old dumb shit. And we're fostering that, and we really are starting to feed into it. We're starting to believe it. We're starting to live it, and we're starting to expect it. You know, you got these cats out here. All right, yeah. Having a relationship and kids with a stripper might be okay until your 4 year old starts twerking. Your future right before your eyes. Now, your retarded ass probably going to try to whoop their ass. Don't you be doing that. That ain't going to stop shit. I'm not saying that she's destined to live that life, because she's not. The same way as if you're dealing with a man who's a straight thug, gangster type, whatever. He didn't become a thug and a gangster because his life was so perfect from the beginning. He didn't choose that way of life, not necessarily. It was kind of carved out for him. Like, this is an easy lane for you to fit into because of the circumstances of your upbringing. So this will fit you personally. It will fit you to a T. You know? Other shit. These niggas out here that think it's cool, you know, like, they think it's so cool and sweet to deal with a woman that's a dyke. Like, you know, long as she ain't no butch, long as she ain't no stud. And even if she is a stud, she still got a pussy. Like, I love turning studs out. I know this one dude told me, yeah, I like turning studs out. I'm like I said, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, right? All right. So you think that it's cool when you know your chick is openly bisexual, and you know you thinking that, yo, I'm gonna be having three sons. Like, you can't, like, a woman can't just be gay and not have good pussy or some shit like that. Like, being bisexual or being gay, in some people's mind, way too many people, if you ask me, is somehow meaning that you are somehow, you may be more sexually free, but sexually free doesn't necessarily mean sexually good. Like, yeah, it's like a universal remote, yeah. It works all the devices, but guess what? It doesn't work every device right. Y'all all have universal remotes in y'all houses. And y'all know that universal remote works one device better than everything else. Everything else, like, I can't really rewind with this remote for that. Oh, yeah, it won't change the CD for the CD player. And I tried to use it for the DVD player. It'll turn it off and on, but that's about it. Won't play no DVD. Won't eject. It won't do nothing. Oh, it worked for the TV. You know why it works for the TV? Because they don't have to do nothing but turn the TV on and off, volume up, volume down. You still got to use the cable remote that turns on the TV and turns the TV up and down, but it'll actually change the channel
and do all other shit.
So I'm saying all that to say this. So you fuck around, you think it's cool to fuck around with these bisexual chicks because you think that they're going to introduce other women into the bedroom and all of that. Okay, and they might. Then you fuck around and have a baby by that chick. And your little boy seems to have a little thing for playing with dolls and baking. No, there's nothing wrong with baking. Nope, there's nothing wrong with baking. But I have noticed a pattern. It's interesting. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. Anyway, he wants to play with dolls instead of army men. You know exactly where the fuck that shit is coming from, son. I'm not that. But guess what? If and when it does, you don't have, you got the point of reference right there. You know what it is. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility that you might have a little sugar in your tank too. It's not totally out. Like, my favorite basketball player is Dwayne Wade. Like, you know what I'm saying? Used to be Dennis Rodman. Yeah, what a coincidence. I don't know. But when we're talking about something being something it's supposed to be out of your life, but they ain't. The things that we do, the decisions that we make affect us one by one, and it affects some of us more than it affects others. But it affects us. And for people to expect us to just etch a sketch, our long-lasting impressions out of our lives, well, we can lie to them and say, yep, nothing there. But remember, we're just lying to them. And we're lying to ourselves. And we really don't have to do that. You ain't got to. You may choose to, but you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that. You owe more to yourself than anybody else. However, don't get me wrong, because you may owe somebody else a lot. But if you fix yourself, you can fix what you did to them. If you don't fix yourself, you're never going to acknowledge what you did to anybody else, and you sure as hell ain't going to try to fix that shit. You're going to leave it broke as fuck just the way it was before. Why would you fix it? You don't even want to acknowledge it. You don't want to look it in his face. And you know how it is when you don't want to look your past in the face. That means your past is right there with you. Supposed to be, she's out of my life. She's out of my life. But she ain't out. And she ain't going to be out. No. She ain't going to be out. You ain't ready for her to be out. But it's okay. You have to deal with things the way that they really are. And once you start being honest with yourself, you'll start to be honest with other people about yourself. And then something magical starts to happen. You start to learn. You start to grow. You start to advance. You start to be better. You start to improve. Daylight savings time seems to last. It seems to present itself even in the winter. You know? But you have to give yourself a chance. Give yourself a chance to gently and effectively push these things out of your life so you can get them out of your life the right way and for good, permanently, the way you need to. And only you understand your need to get these things out of your life. Not me, not him, not her, not them. You. When it's done, it's done. You have to make the decision when it's done, though. You have to decide that. That decision cannot be made by anybody except you. Except you. But it's going to be all right. Yeah, you know it's going to be all right. Thank you. The power of the mind, baby. The power of the mind. We have the power to get rid of things. We have the power to accumulate things. And sometimes we call ourselves doing both things at the same time, baby.
Excuse me.
We call ourselves doing both things at the same time. It can't be done. So it is written, it will be done. Before we start packing up to get out of here in any capacity, I want y'all to know that we will be doing the Legacy of a Nation show tonight. We did it last Saturday. It was pretty good. But I want to make sure that my people are all up in the place. So I need to see your face in the place at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 319-527-6199. That's how you can call in. No shit like that. And if you look on the screen, if you're already in chat, you'll see that the number is already pinned. But that's the number that you call. That's Blog Talk Radio. Now, I was thinking about what we should be talking about tonight on that day, on the Legacy of a Nation show. So I'm leaning towards something black, something positive, something relevant, something necessary. I got it. You know what we're going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about, it's going to be deep. We're going to talk about whether the Biden administration is pushing the black man out of the political process and replacing him with the black woman. That's what we're going to talk about on Legacy of a Nation. That ought to be. Because there's a strong argument that that's what he's doing. Most of his appointees have been black women. But that was one of the knocks against him when he was running against Trump. Black men overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump as far as the black people who supported Donald Trump. And they did it because he acknowledged their issues as men. Joe Biden is sort of like, well, the women got me elected, so I'm going to take care of them. I'm like, so ain't no black men get you elected, son? No, I voted for your ass. But we're going to see. Let's talk about that tonight. Are black men being filtered out of the political process and being replaced by black women? Now, in corporate America, we have to deal with that a lot. They'll give our black women very good paying jobs and positions. Meanwhile, our black men are left out in the dark to starve. So, when a black man can't take care of his family, he can't make enough money to take care of his family, but his woman can. And unfortunately, they're not sophisticated enough to come together, to work together and take care of their family as a family unit and as a spousal couple is supposed to, whereas it doesn't matter. Your money is my money. It's our money. It's house money. We're going to run the household the way that we see fit and raise our babies right. It ain't like that in every household. Some households, man needs to be able to make more in order to feel better. Yeah, some insecurity issues all up in that, but it is what it is. And is our current president-elect fostering that type of atmosphere? After all, his running mate is a black woman. Tonight on the Legacy of a Nation show, so make sure y'all come through. 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm gonna be in y'all inboxes. I ain't even gonna hold you. I'm gonna be in y'all inboxes asking y'all to come through
for the show, because normally my dad would send out text messages to all his people and they would come through. Well, I don't have the luxury of doing that, but I will be in y'all inboxes coming, you know what I mean, asking y'all to come through and check out the show a few minutes before it starts and after it starts. So, you know what I mean, make sure y'all come through and check out the Legacy of a Nation show. Speaking of my dad, yeah, fuck it. Speaking of my dad, he's having some bad health issues right now. I definitely have cause for concern, straight up and down worry. I mean, my man is on my mind. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this show, because he can't be there to do it. And I know that he would want to be and that he wants to be, but he can't. So I'm trying to hold it down for him. So that's what's going on with the Legacy of a Nation show. For those of y'all who know a little bit, yeah, I mean, y'all know a little bit, but I'm holding it down for my dog. For my God, the dog, the God, the dog. All right. So when something is out of your life, well, supposed to be out of your life, but it ain't. Everybody's saying that you better get it out of your life, but you can't. But what can you do? Man, talking to somebody about what's happening with you is so important. And I think that one of the reasons why it's so important is because it's so hard to do for some people. You know, let's like listen, sometimes somebody can give you all of the apples. Like, look, here, take all of these apples. Hey, but I like oranges. I know you like oranges, but look, here, take these apples. We'll rock with these apples. Yo, ain't no oranges? Or we can get some oranges later, but look, these apples good as shit. You know what I mean? A lot of fiber in these apples. They sweet and they delicious. I mean, plus you don't have to peel them and nothing like that. You can grab the motherfucker, you know what I mean? Shine it up if you want to. But go ahead, eat that. Got some apples. But I like oranges. Orange is not available right now. And we can't go to the store. We can't go to the store. So, when you are connected to people who are connected to you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it's so important to keep the lines of communication open as much as you can. I know for a fact firsthand that you can't always communicate everything on somebody else's timeline. Like, I know that people might come to you and be like, look, you got to do this now. I need you now. I need this now. We need this now. Sometimes now is not available for you. But communicate that. Let somebody know, like, listen, I'm not, this thing right here got me fucked up. I ain't even ready to tell you how fucked up it got me, but it got me fucked up. But I just want you to know that I'm not freezing you out. I'm not dissing. I'm not trying to separate myself from you. But I got to deal with this shit. I got to deal with it. But I'll be back. I'll be right back in a minute. And trust me, I'll send out an SOS if it gets too heavy for me to be able to carry. You know? So when something is supposed to be out of your life, well, who decides what's supposed to be out of your life? Because sometimes we think that we're making the decisions for our that govern our lives, and sometimes we ain't really the one to know it. Sometimes, you know, we got the whole Pinocchio puppet strings, Rumpelstiltskin. Thanks, y'all. I think good looking out, Carol T. Carey, right?
Cherry. Good looking now. Appreciate it. But yeah, who decides who is supposed to be out of our lives and how? Who decides that? Do we make the decision all by ourselves, or do we get a lot of help in making that decision? Well, probably a combination. You know, a lot of different factors that we have to take into consideration. But know this, it's going to be all right. Yeah, you know it's going to be all right. Thank you. We're going to get it together. All right, let's do these birthday shout-outs. We're going to do these birthday shout-outs, and then we're going to get on the body here, let y'all get on to the rest of y'all day on a Saturday. Man, it's cold as shit outside. You understand, son? It's cold out there.
Buzz was around the time
when Nas came out. Chav. All right. You got Chav. Okay. Like I was saying, we have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious December 19th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Number one out the box, Francis Bay Young. Happy birthday, Francis Young. Good to see me some you. A word up coming through. She's 47 years old. Do the damn thing. All right. And Gloria Leverson turning 55 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Bonita Summer turning 28 years old today. And Keisha Robin, happy birthday to you. And Evelyn Harden turning 49 years old today. And Dorothy Brown, she's right around the corner. My girl, Dorothy Brown turning 64 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Miss Brown. And my man, Rob Edwards, man, still grinding, still doing the damn thing, turning 46 years old today. Do the damn thing, Rob. And last but not least, certainly not least, my girl, Tarsha Smith, turning 48 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. December 19th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, you decide when somebody's supposed to be out of your life and how they're supposed to be out of your life. Everybody, not everyone can decide that for you. But if you've told somebody that somebody's out of your life, out of your system, they've been filtrated out. Mean that shit. Don't just say that shit. Hey, yo, mean that shit. Because it's going to come up again. It's definitely going to come up again. And it should. You know, sometimes we need reassurance. Sometimes people need reassurance from us. Try not to put people in positions where they feel like they are being used by you for as a placement or replacement temporarily. For somebody else. Don't do nobody that way. Be with who you want to be with. That's friend or lover. Whether it's friend or lover, be with who you want to be with. That way, you can increase your chances of enjoying yourself. And I know you want to do that. Who wouldn't want to do that? All right, y'all. Listen, like I said, the Legacy of a Nation show is later on, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be there, be square. Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party replacing the black man for the black woman. You got to really think about that, though, because Donald Trump already didn't put any black people in positions of any real power. I mean, if you want to count Ben Carson, you go ahead and count Ben Carson. I don't count Ben Carson. His job just wasn't important enough, and he ain't qualified. But you're a fucking brain surgeon, but you... All right, anyway. So we don't, you know, we can't have these old white men, you know what I'm saying, pretty much phasing out the black man in relevance in our political process. Because that's a hell of a plan. All right. So you check. Make sure y'all check that out. 319-527-6199. Make sure y'all check that out. Matter of fact, put that. Let me see. blogtalkradio.com/SUN 752. Oh, what the fuck? I wasn't even on the page. Hold on. blogtalkradio.com/SUN75. What the fuck is going on? blogtalkradio.com/SUN752. That looks right. So y'all, if y'all on the computer, y'all can go to that. Or you can just call and listen to the show, the entire show. So, because we're not on video. That's what you need. We're not on video. So with that being said, peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all and love y'all right back to life. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. And I get with y'all later on 6 o'clock. If not, tomorrow at 11 o'clock. If not, I get with y'all another time. And I, hold on. Let me get Blog Talk out of the way. You die. You go. I say peace to you.